Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Watcher. It's the Luke and Pete Show with Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore, two boys with freaky secrets who don't give a damn about a thing.
Oh yeah, baby. Pete, do you know what the name of the arcade was that sponsored Wayne's World in the film Wayne's World?
God, no.
When they sold out and went big time.
Oh, I don't know. The Tato Corporation?
It was called Noah's Arcade.
Okay, good.
I don't know why I was just thinking about that. When you started the show slightly early there, I normally give you the nod, give you the thumbs up. I didn't do that.
Sorry.
You got bored of me and just hit the button.
And you were right in the middle of some kind of Wayne's World fantasy.
Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking about the film Wayne's World.
You were dressed as Wayne and Garth at a recent Halloween do. And by recent, I mean October.
I had to, yeah, the most recent opportunity.
The hunt for recent October.
My effort was a poor effort. I think if I had gone to Larry David's, this is a Kirby Enthusiasm reference, right, but if I had gone to Larry David's house, he wouldn't have given me any, he wouldn't have given me any treats.
Right.
On two reasons. One, I'd be too old, and two, that my costume wasn't good enough.
Right, okay. Is that a conceit from the TV show?
Have you not seen it?
I've not seen it.
Larry, it's Halloween, and these two 17-year-old girls turn up at his house, not dressed up, and say trick or treat. And he says, well,
Where's the costume?
Yeah, I'm not giving you a treat.
I've done Bernie. I turned into Bernie Sanders there.
You've done Bernie, which is very easily done.
Very easily done.
Or possibly Christian Bale on set of Terminator.
McGee, are you going to speak to this prick? get out of my fucking light. Yeah, I'm doing my thing and then you get out of my fucking light.
Where are you from?
That does actually sound like Bernie Sanders.
No, he's more sort of a little bit more like this. He's a bit more gruff.
Medicare.
Just a small infraction in Iranian airspace.
The way he says for all.
I was chatting to Ezra Koenig from the band Vampire Weekend at the weekend, and he is obviously big.
Lion King's out soon, actually.
It's
the new Lion King film's out soon.
Did they do the music for it?
No, but it sounds like it does.
Very gapier. They're obviously big Bernie boys. Big supporters, they play all the fundraisers and stuff.
Oh, do they? I didn't realise that. So I really like the Vampire Weekend record, which I think is Modern Vampires in the City. I think it's called, came out about I don't know now, but when I was cutting around New York City, when I first met my now wife, I was listening to that record quite a lot, and so it's got a special place in my heart.
Is that the one with the Cape Cod Quasar?
No. It's long after that. It's the one that's got the old baby, 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 right on time. That one. It's not as Lion King.
Has it got the one that's got diddly, 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 do, 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 do.
That's all of them.
That's all of the songs.
Yeah, so what was he saying? He was talking about Bernie, was he?
Was he feeling the burn? He was feeling the burn. I
was
sort of saying, how's it all going? And he was like, and you could tell it in his eyes. He thinks that he's having a bit of a losing streak.
So I think the burn, what he's got in his opposition is that I think he might have said some quite problematic things in the 70s.
Right.
Which could come back to haunt him. If he gets the nomination, they're going to hammer him with
it. Did you see Joe Biden talking about segregation policies and says the state matter and stuff like that? It's like, wow, that's not ideal, is it, Joe?
And have you also seen what the current president says now? Because that's also, to say the very least, problematic. Anyway, it is Monday, the 15th of July. I am fresh from...
Are you? Whoa.
I am fresh from...
Oh, right.
Allow me to finish. I am fresh from... watching the most remarkable match of cricket I've ever seen yesterday. Yep. I know you have no interest in cricket, Pete Donaldson, you seemed quite, I'm going to say confused when I messaged last night talking about how crazy it was.
I just sort of said, what do I need? Do I need to watch this?
You had no interest, let's be fair.
Yeah, but I was like, I want to be part of the,
yeah.
I want to be part of it all, but I just don't want to have to watch 5 hours of people showing off in the crowd.
You were basically saying to me, you want to know what love is and you want me to show you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I know you've got a problem with the way cricket fans behave, particularly with the beer glass snakes.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And the fancy dress.
And the fancy dress, solid showing off, yeah.
But this was the World Cup final.
Yeah.
And really, you probably only wanted to watch the last... hour, and it was insane. Cricket match
mad.
That ends in a tie. Never seen that before. I'm not a cricket expert.
Right.
Then it goes to a super over, which is
tied. What's a super over? What does that mean?
There's
one more match.
One over, so six deliveries.
Cage match.
You get to choose three batsmen.
The Undertaker and Mankind.
Yeah, you finished? And then the Undertaker comes out.
Throws Mankind through a table.
He tombstones the first batsman. Did he still do the tombstone Undertaker?
I think he botched one in Saudi Arabia with another wrestler. So I don't think he'll be allowed to do it anymore.
Is that how it works?
Absolutely. He was the only one who was allowed to do it, wasn't he?
But if you take a wrestler's special move away, surely that's their lifeblood, right?
Well, death blood in his case. He's the undead, isn't he? Or the dead man.
It's nothing to do with The Undertaker.
No.
Or who's the other one you said? Mankind.
Mankind.
Yeah. Mankind's one of my favourites, actually, because he's crazy.
Fat man.
He's crazy. No, Mankind's not fat, was he? He was.
He had a big old caboose. How do you think he survived to throw off the blooming cage?
Was he also Cactus Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Cactus Jack.
Mick Foley, right?
Mick Foley, yeah. Yeah, he seems like a nice chap. But it was... so.
Anyway, do you want to hear what the super over is?
Yes,
there's three batsmen,
okay.
But you obviously have two, and if you get one out, you get
to just
the
hitting
one.
Each other with bats.
And and one bowler, and you have to get as many runs as you can. Even that was tied, and England won the World Cup because they hit more boundaries in their innings than the other team did.
Whoa, that's crazy.
So basically, it was like the equivalent, football fans out there, it was like the equivalent of a penalty shootout, which also ended in a draw.
And then they had to find something else.
Somewhere else, yeah.
Some other reason.
There's some guy in the long room at Lords like going through some pieces of paper just going, it's boundaries. England.
I would trust the statistician in that case.
Because it's cricket.
Because I wouldn't trust them in the realm of football. I wouldn't trust, if it had to come down to football, if I had to come down to some kind of statistical decision, I wouldn't trust anybody with that. But I would trust them in the realms of cricket because most cricket fans are deviants when it comes to that sort of
perverts.
Thing.
Perverts. Mm. Would you trust our friends at Opta, Pete?
Well, I'd have
in
to,
football?
Wouldn't I?
Yeah, depends.
Do we have a commercial relationship?
No, we don't.
Okay, well, fuck them then.
No.
I've seen them with their little Xbox controllers sat in the crowd. I don't know whether it's Opta, but certainly maybe for some betting companies to figure out how many touches each player has got or how many times the possession has turned over. There's a little lad just watching the action, and every time somebody passes a ball, they click a button on an Xbox controller. They certainly did up until like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I visited Opta, and it was a kind of a room with a load of students watching intently a football match and pressing loads of buttons when things were happening.
Incredible.
So it is fun. I mean, open to mistakes.
abuse, open to abuse.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, when sort of people talk about cricket, they've got no idea what the hell they're talking about. Like,
hello,
like
you me, have well, you met me?
Like me, well, I don't know cricket, but I want to be part of it. You know, over the weekend, well, probably over the past week, there was a little census, a little survey. And it surveyed like 100 men, and it was like 13% of them thought that they could get a pint of Serena.
That's amazing. That's so funny.
But is that right? I'm willing to give them the benefit of doubt and sort of saying, well, is that just people who just don't know
what tennis
sport?
Is?
Yeah, who just don't. You know, like when because when I didn't like could football, be. It was like when I was like, you know, 13. Oh, just a load of millionaires. Well, probably weren't millionaires then. Just a load of men kicking on a pigskin. It doesn't really matter, does it? It means nothing. Anyone can do that. Easy peasy. But they just don't know the sport, or they just don't. They're just not familiar with the idea of how professional sports people are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because they have no understanding.
They have
it,
no
right?
understanding about how different anybody picking up a tennis racket compared to what those maniacs do on the pitch.
Yeah,
on the pitch, on the court.
On the court, I mean, the YouGov poll was, it didn't say whether they were tennis fans or not.
Yeah.
But the question is funny.
But just sports fans, anyone who knows anything about sport would know.
Sure.
They've I have fantasies about maybe in another life, I might have been a good, I don't know, what's that? Is it marksmanry where you just shoot a gun?
Yeah.
And then you do a swim and then you have a little run.
Oh, you talk about modern pentathlon?
Yeah, just bizarre. Biathlon, should not be in the Olympics.
No, it's just not a very
skill.
Traditional sport. That was,
yeah, exactly.
It's been around since the start.
So I sort of think that, well, all right, it may be that's the spot for me because nobody's really that into it compared to the 100 metres. You can't make much money out of it. You've got to be from money to be able to
play,
do
this
that sport.
This is the kind of thing that is behind a lot of these. You know when, I have to choose my words carefully here because I'm probably friends with a couple of them. You know when comedians get to the point where they know they're not going to do anything
right.
in their careers,
right.
they start to think of wacky ideas and they write books about it.
Mm.
And it's things like, oh, I wanted to become an Olympian in a sport.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah,
I choose
yeah,
the
yeah.
most bizarre or obscure sport.
Okay.
Or like, actually, an exception to this rule, because this is genuinely a very interesting story and very good, is Paul Watson, not that one, who... went to Pompeii in the South Pacific and ran that football team.
Right.
And we talked about it on the Ramble.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant story. He did that because obviously he wanted something to do. But I think there is an element that there are people out there who think, oh, I need to search for meaning in my life, so I'm going to go and become the best. It's like the same people who back in the day would try and get a Guinness World Record for like lying in a bath of beans or something.
Is that the guy who crossed the channel in a bath?
Yeah.
And I've waxed less than lyrical about this before. The man who crossed the channel in a bath wasn't a bath. He'd made like a catamaran out of a bath.
Yeah.
Like it was just, was not a standard.
We always wax less than lyrical, don't we? Just take my keys out of my pocket. But going back to that Serena Williams thing, I was a little more cynical than you about it because it was run by YouGov, who, and the polling industry is a very competitive industry.
Mm.
And this just smacked to me of wanting to get a bit of free PR because the survey was, the question was, do you think if you were playing your very best tennis, you could win a point off Serena Williams?
And so they could be, say they interviewed 100 people.
Yeah.
They could possibly have interviewed 12 professional tennis players.
within that sense.
Around Wimbledon. Yeah. Around the environs of Wimbledon.
Okay, can you give me the names of the 12% of men who said it was Novak Djokovic? No, but then they tweeted, because this is the thing, because actually 3% of women said they could as well.
Right, okay, right.
And,
I
believe it, certainly politically, for it to be a survey worth anything, it's got to be over a certain amount of people responding. I think it's 1,000.
Right.
I think it used to be 1,000. So if this is by the same token,
yeah.
then...
That's a decent amount of money there, amount of people though, isn't it?
3% of women said it as well.
Right.
Right? And 87% said no. So you've got 10% there who didn't respond or said they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But in the general population, it was 81% said they couldn't, which they fucking couldn't, and 7% said they could, which they fucking couldn't. But
I mean,
and then YouGov tweeted, 1 in 8 men say they could win a point in a game of tennis against 23-time Grand Slam winner Serena Williams. So they're basically just trying to get a lot of PR out of it, essentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Men are
like
stupid.
You said, like, it's not... It's, thing is, it's not stupid, though, is it? It's that toxic masculinity of thinking that you're better than everyone else and thinking that...
It's also... those type of people are having a bad week because they've probably answered that survey and been ridiculed, and they've spent the rest of the week getting really upset about Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, God. It's been a wonderful... Yeah. So many other parts, so many wrong things are going... It's this woman is ideal because the sort of men who get upset about, you know, the Megan Rapinoe being arrogant and stuff is like are the same men who will get upset in the back of their heads because she won't fuck them.
Yeah.
She's better than them at football,
yeah.
And she's more charismatic and more important than they will ever hope to be. It is a beautiful storm.
So you weren't saying that when you came. You were furious.
It's done like a hair. It's very similar to mine.
It is actually.
Very similar to mine.
It is very, very similar.
But Jason on Twitter, longwall26, if you really need to know, tweeted, and I retweeted, this really made me laugh. Confident in my ability to properly tennis, I take the court. I smile at my opponent. Serena does not return the gesture. She'd be prettier if she did, I think. She serves. She serves. The ball passes cleanly through my skull, killing me instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Which exactly. I think is beautiful. But I've been enjoying a lot of editorials about Megan Rapinoe and just the general drunkenness and kind of giving no respect to the game of the US women's national team. It has been wonderful.
Yeah,
because Zlatan got so close to winning the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got so close because we never really saw Zlatan winning anything. Considered,
but to be fair though, the backdrop to that, and people have said the same thing about Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm. The backdrop to that is that they are both called out regularly for being arrogant as well. It's a running joke that they're both really arrogant, and the only difference is Zlatan has kind of made it a little bit more self aware.
Yeah,
and Cristiano hasn't. Mm. So. I think is a lot of this is couched in fragile masculinity, but I do also think that football coverage is universal. So there's never going to be a shortage of any kind of forensic assessment of everything that's happening. And then to me, it looks like I try and be on the outside looking in on this stuff. And it looks to me that as soon as something on Twitter gets picked up on, it spirals. And the reason it spirals is because you've got all these dickheads over this side talking about Megan Rapinoe and getting butthurt about it because they're losers. And on the other hand, you get all these really right on people just piling in and it becomes a huge snowball.
It's a cottage industry.
And you're difficult, Pete, because you're a bit of both.
How am I a bit of both?
Because you are.
I'm as wet as they come, mate.
It's true. That is true, to be fair to you. That is absolutely true. That's what's been happening in the news over the last week anyway. A little roundup.
I feel like we haven't sort of spoken for a little while. So
no, we haven't.
Shall we hit a break and then we'll do some blummin' emails?
Yeah, we will.
A stack of them.
That's people's favourite, isn't it? They complain when we don't do enough emails.
I think it'll come.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Not heard much from Julian Assange lately, actually.
No, our Julian Assange correspondent's gone quiet.
No.
Shall I just do
Julian,
a quick...
Our Julian Assange correspondent? Or what do you mean? Like,
well, the guy kept emailing in.
Oh, about Julian Assange,
the prison.
Yes. Okay, right, yeah.
I've just Googled Julian Assange.
It's weird that, like, being a Russian mouthpiece for, you know, propaganda and leaks like that is... he suddenly got a bit quiet.
Apparently.
He doesn't have access to any information.
According to The Sun... Amal Clooney told Julian Assange how to avoid arrest and flee Britain.
Oh.
So that's the latest news. That's the latest news. The plot's thickened.
Another reason why we can't like a woman of colour in England or the US.
What, for aiding and abetting Julian Assange?
For aiding and abetting Julian Assange.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about the story.
Anything about it.
Pete, do you want to do an email first?
All right, then. Lee. Hello, Lee. Hello, hello. I haven't heard anybody mention the school classic Raps. Do you remember Raps, which we used to play on the bus home, is getting your knuckles chiselled down to the bare bone by one of your mates, graphic and bloody enough to suffice, Peter?
Oh, we used to call that knuckles.
Knuckles. How did you do it? How did you make the knuckles
red? I'll show you. So put your arm out, put your hand out,
right.
You do that.
Oh,
and
yes.
And if you miss, that person gets the turn. But if they flinch three times, you get a free hit.
Right.
So I used to play this with my uncle. So if you do this, if you go like that, so play properly now. I'm going to hurt you. So play properly now, okay?
I'm going to hurt you.
No, it's my turn, you fucking idiot. I was going to show you how to play. That probably made quite a pleasing sound.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm showing you how to play, right?
Okay. I've got considerably smaller hands than you.
This is my left hand and you're right, so.
All right.
So if I do that and you flinch.
Right.
If you do that three times, I get a free hit.
Right.
So I can
really load up on one.
But if I do that and do that and do that, it's fine. But if I miss, it's then your turn.
Oh, okay.
And
right,
the person to quit loses.
All right, there we go. So
I don't play anymore. Oh. That actually quite hurt.
Oh, sorry.
And you can also play slaps where you do it like that.
Yeah, I remember slaps.
You slap like that. It's exactly the same principle.
Is it the same as the Red Red River?
What's that?
Where you sort of get your mate's arm like that. Like, you do all the animals going across the Red Red River. So you go, the ants went across the Red Red River and you just basically nip the bloke.
Right, yeah.
Or lady on the arm. And
or Megan Rapinoe. Do it on Megan Rapinoe.
Red River. And then it's like, and then the elephants went across. The Red Red River, and then at the end you've got a Red Red River because you're.
But where's the game element to that?
What?
Where's the game element?
It's not going to be competitive. It's just hurting your arm.
So is it as many animals as you can think of?
Yeah, but I mean, there's ants and then there's elephants. There's not much really in between those two.
No, snake.
How would you make a snake hurt?
Give me your arm, I'll show you.
You got nothing.
Right. Anyway, carry
you
on.
You got nothing. It suddenly dawned on me while listening to your last episode why my knuckle shin parts like the Red Sea anytime it's brushed with anything remotely rough. He's calling his knuckles the knuckle shin.
What's the shin of the knuckle then? Is it that bit there?
I guess so, yeah.
Weird.
Beautiful. But yeah, keep up the good work. As an Englishman in Sweden, you keep me feeling connected to the good ship Albion. And for that, I thank you.
England, Englishman in Sweden, huh? That's not a bad place to live. I wouldn't mind a bit of that action myself.
Lovely old job, especially this time of the year.
I'm going to catch up with some stuff we talked about a while back. Do you remember we ran that story of some people, including some children, falling into a shark tank at an aquarium?
Oh, no. That's suboptimal.
I think I might have said that there were great whites in there.
Right.
Now, I look back at the story, it didn't actually say. So if I did say that and it was wrong, I apologise. Mm. There may have been, though. The story, as far as I remember, didn't say either way. But some people got in touch saying that it's unlikely they would have had a great white shark in there because they famously don't do very well in captivity. But we got a load of emails about it. Ben is the guy whose email I've selected, and he says, "Hi, fellas, been listening to the show for a while. And you finally had a topic come up that I think I can actually help you out with. Hardly any species of sharks will deliberately attack humans. The vast majority, over 90% of recorded shark-related fatalities can be put down to just four species. The great white, the tiger shark, the bull shark, and the oceanic white tip shark. Right. Of those, the great white is comfortably the most famous, but even most incidents involving them are a case of mistaken identity, where the shark mistakes the shape of the swimmer for a seal. Often if the shark gets interested, they'll just bump the terrified person a couple of times, realise they're not food, and swim off." I think we did mention that at the time. Anyway, he said there's also the important point that you can't keep great whites in aquariums. The longest ones ever survived in captivity is roughly about 6 months. I guess this is true for the oceanic white tip too, because they're proper open ocean animals that swim hundreds of miles every day. Bull and tiger sharks are also pretty unlikely, as they're both really aggressive and you wouldn't want them in a tank with other species. Had a quick Google and it looks like the aquarium had sand tiger sharks, which are actually smaller and much less aggressive than most other sharks. Long story short, aquarium suitable sharks are really unlikely to attack people or be dangerous. Thanks, I love the show. One last thing, nurse sharks and lemon sharks are the most common sharks in aquariums.
Lemon sharks!
They're almost completely harmless and at times even seem to enjoy human company and being petted and stuff like that. Sharks just get a bad rep. That's from Ben.
To be fair, a juvenile lemon shark with a little lemony hue is wonderful.
I don't know what's. I mean, it makes me feel like they should. It makes me feel like they're going to taste of lemon. You know, like when you get that scent. What was the name of that shower gel you used to get, Pete? Where it used to be really intensely smell of stuff.
Sauce.
That was it. I may be
using a minty version of it right now.
Oh, can you still get it?
Yeah, you still get it. Yeah, you still find it.
Well, do not put that on on certain parts of your body because it is painful.
I'm a big boy.
But that's what it reminds me of. And some people, I'm led to believe, might be tempted to be so into the smell of that, because you can get lemon, you can get mint, you can get all sorts.
It always just tastes of salt.
Tasting it.
Always just tastes of salt. You're always surprised. It's
just
crazy.
Tastes of soap, right?
No, it tastes of like salt. I don't know why soap tastes, or maybe it's just for me. It just really, really tastes of salt. Actually, we got an email from, who have we got here? It's from Leanne in Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, I selected this one as well.
You found it.
Leanne's on the clean sweep here. Mm, is it about synesthesia?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
As someone who hasn't listened for the very beginning, I've really enjoyed the summer shows. Oh, it makes me feel as though I'm catching up with some of the recurring topics I hear you talk about. I was listening to several recent episodes last week and I was so pleased to hear this segment about synesthesia. I'm sure you received many emails like this when the episode originally came out, but I wanted to chime in anyway because I wasn't part of it the first time there. You're quite welcome to do so. Leanne from Kansas City in Kansas.
I was wondering about, I always thought that Kansas City, the city, was in Missouri.
Right.
And that was kind of the weird anomaly.
Right.
But I've just checked and it looks like half of it is in, or some of it is in Kansas.
Dipping a toe.
Maybe they're different cities.
I happen to have synesthesia myself, and it's only been in the last few years that I even knew it was an actual thing with a name. When I found this out, I read a bit about it and found out that the type that I have, that of associating specific tastes with the sounds of certain words, is aptly called lexical gustatory synesthesia. Huh. I have had this for as long as I can remember. I can recall being as young as 3 or 4 and experiencing the phenomenon of words having a taste. Excuse me.
Words having a taste.
Yeah. Hmm. Strangely enough, I also distinctly remember being aware very early that this was something quite abnormal or at least uncommon. And so even as a child, I never spoke of it to anyone, not even my family. Like a little secret. Fast forward to several years ago with all that change. I'd heard of synesthesia, but I'd never heard of anyone having the specific one that I had. So I didn't know it was classified as such. When I found out, bit of a game changer for me. And I described my experiences to my family. People can have levels of synesthesia. Mine is probably fairly mild in that I don't normally experience a literal taste when I hear a word, just a strong mental association with a taste. It was interesting to hear Luke described synesthetes as people who suffer from synesthesia, as I've never once felt as though having this made me a sufferer of anything or have had a negative impact on me.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have said that. I apologise to all synesthetes out there because, yeah, it's probably a wrong way of phrasing it.
All part of life's rich tapestry, tasty tapestry. My 12-year-old son has been known to repeat a word to me numerous times in order to cause me to experience the taste of it. If you are curious, here are a few examples of words and the tastes I associate with them. Strap yourself in, Leanne. You're here for a 3-course dinner.
Right. Okay. Here we go.
Common.
The word common.
Common.
So I didn't actually read this email through. I just selected it.
Common.
What's
well,
this?
Leanne right now is tasting peanut butter. Common. That's your breakfast.
She's not tasting it. She's mentally associating with
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, apparently it's she says these ones go a little bit deeper.
Oh, okay, right.
Circle. Circle.
Circle.
Circle. Don't have too much. Cold roast beef.
Cold roast beef. This is ideal.
Cold cuts.
This is ideal because what it means is you're going to be able to taste these things, but you're not going to have the calories.
Have.
Have. Listen, that's difficult because have is a very, very common word.
Yeah.
I've just said common again. That's more people.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that must be an absolute roller coaster.
Well, you've mixed cherry pie with peanut butter there.
That works.
Have.
That would probably
and
work.
And also much. Much. This is so specific. Canned mandarin orange slices. Much. I know these are bizarre, and years ago I would never have shared this information with anyone. Share marshmallow. But finding out that lexical gustatory synesthesia was a real thing changed my perspective and made me willing to be more open about it. Anyway, thanks for bringing that topic back up on the show. I enjoyed it very much. Much.
What do you think about that, Peter?
I think it's
crazy.
Just wonderful. Is it? It must be like, you know, when like I think about a rolled ankle and like I get a bit. Ugh. It must be like something that part of your head that just goes associates something with ugh, or delicious.
Yeah,
yeah. There we go.
Like the tears of people affected by
canned
Megan Rapinoe's success.
I love it.
Megan Rapinoe, in my synesthesia's mind, is salty tears.
You say it anyway.
Salty tears. Yeah, I taste salty tears.
I was enjoying her on the bus going, I deserve this.
What with champagne? That's because that reminds me of a story I think you told about a guy in a toilet cubicle.
I told that story to a friend and he said he'd had that experience. So I'm worried that I might have stolen that story from him.
Tell people the story anyway.
Clearly a alcoholic in the toilets at an old radio station.
What, the guy working there? He was working there.
Well, clearly working there, yeah. He was in the cubicle and you could hear him sipping on tinned lager, quite strong, going, oh, you deserve this. You deserve this.
He's had a beer. How do you know he's an alcoholic?
Not in the cubicle. Not special brew in the cubicle where he hides all of the empties down the back of the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
Have you drunk?
It's not an ideal situation.
No, it's not. And hopefully you offered him the help he so clearly needs.
Yeah, I just
rather
everyone.
Than just turning it into a witty and depressing anecdote.
Mm.
And was he rubbing bread around the toilet?
Have
you ever drunk special brew, Pete?
Yeah, I have. I think those kind of drinks are not as bad as you think they might be.
Big fan
of Skull.
I think it tastes terrible. I've never had Skull.
Skull's nice.
The only time I've ever had special brew is when I had a house party when I was in my probably early to mid 20s and some hilarious wag.
Oh,
it would have been
hashtag
banter.
Ha ha, look at me, I'm an alcoholic.
It would have been Twitter and everything. Yeah. No, he brought some around. It said bring your own beer, so I brought 8 special brew.
Brilliant.
And he put them in the fridge. Obviously, no one touched them.
Mm.
And then we decided that it would be an all right experience to give it a bash.
Have a crack.
And it was disgusting.
Yeah, so. I was very much of that kind of humour. Where, but you know that liqueur that's in like a scepter.
No, what's a scepter? I don't even know what a scepter is.
Those little balls that the Queen has. That's a scepter, isn't it?
I thought a scepter was like a spear.
No, I think are you thinking of I think of something else. Scepter. Yeah, like a little ball with a stick. Yeah.
That.
Yeah, but so without the stick, basically. The top of a queen's scepter.
Oh, that liqueur in the scepter. What's it called again?
I can't remember, but I used to buy it quite a lot when somebody says, can you bring a bottle of booze? And I'm like, oh, I'll buy this. And it's actually quite low alcohol. But it does come in a very pretty bottle.
It's like an alcoholic mixer, isn't it? Is it called Chambord?
Yeah. Chambord.
Like that, yeah.
Chambord.
Speaking of that, one of the New Zealand cricketers in the World Cup final yesterday... His name was Colin de Granholm, right?
Right.
De Granholm, which basically, I'm pretty sure...
Big boy.
...means Colin of the big man.
Colin
so
the big
they can
boy.
Literally say the big man's done well.
Nice.
That's great, isn't
got
it?
Got a lot of time for that.
Anyway, if you've got any Chambord to send us, it's if you can do it over email, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We will, of course, be back on Thursday with more of this nonsense. I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about what I got up to on Friday night.
Oh.
Tune in on Thursday for more of that. I'll tell everyone. I'll tell you, Pete, and I'll tell everyone.
Look out for that, baby boys.
Vaguely interesting.
Baby girls.
Have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. Peter, get us the hell out of here.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.